a night oneer. It's like the lowest cast.
Dear Shandy. Welcome back to another Dear Shandy Bachelor Recap, listeners. Hello, Andy.
Hi.
How's it going? You're vibrating over there.
I was just chuckling.
Chuckling.
About a previous joke that no one will ever know about.
Well, we are quickly doing a Women Tell All recap.
Quick.
Yes.
Because a quick WTA, a QWTA.
Because you have a flight to catch in a little while. But we felt that this Women Tell obviously ended with a big piece of information. Mm. And we didn't want to wait until next week to talk about it. So here we are.
Okay. Dedicated.
That's right. Okay. So shall we get going quickly?
Yeah.
Oh, housekeeping. We're still in Ottawa. We're still here. Okay. Yeah.
Snowing.
So Women Tell All picks up with a cheering crowd, complete with a sometimes bad bitches cry sign. Yeah,
that's nice.
Yeah. There was a lot of callbacks to songs that you've composed on the spot over this season.
Yeah. I like to think that I catch the correct phrases that should be sung about. That's a skill I have.
What was your song for Sometimes Bad Bitches Cry?
I think it was like a grungy. It was like, sometimes, wait, yeah, that was sometimes it. Even bad bitches cry.
Yeah, and then we saw.
And it's all right. Yeah, it's all right.
Wow. Oh no coughing this time. I'm proud of you.
Yeah, that was rough. I almost passed out.
Okay, Jesse keeps advertising someone's life changing. No. We now know what this means, but I got to say at the top of the episode, it's just someone. I was like, I feel like they need to narrow this down a bit more.
Yeah.
Like some person.
Some.
I honestly thought it could have been I thought an audience member was going to win something.
I was hoping it was an audience member, but alas.
Okay, so now we get a segment where Jesse and Zach crash viewing parties.
Yeah.
Andy, you said this is what Nick and I did.
We did.
Do you want to tell?
Back in it was 2018? 2017?
Oh man, was it?
Oh my God, was it 2017?
I was out of town for an opera, but Nick was in the city and he was like, I'm crashing a few viewing parties.
Yeah.
And he brought you as his date.
Yeah.
And this is way before Dear Shandy.
Way before, yeah. That was pretty fun.
Oh, that's
people were really psyched
about him.
Yeah, they were first psyched about him, but then as time went on, I think they grew to be happy that I was there as well.
Who wouldn't feel that way? Okay, so they crash a sorority house now. Pretty hardcore viewing party.
Oh,
it does
hardcore.
Feel like, given all the paraphernalia at these viewing parties, they had to know that they were
absolutely.
Coming.
I think they won a raffle. Some sort of a contest to be part of this.
They must submit it. And I'm sure to submit it, they submit like photos of their platters, their cakes,
yeah,
their balloons. Yeah. A highlight for me was Zach matter-of-factly saying, there was a Zach the snack table.
It's good.
Okay, so now finally it's Women Tell All. We have Olivia L, Victoria J, Kat, Madison.
Hold on, I got this. Madison is a business owner from North Dakota.
Very good.
I don't remember the rest of
No, that's the main part you need to know.
That's it.
Anastasia, Genevieve, Mercedes, Kylie, Greer, Allie, Christina Mandrell, Catherine. We're going to call her Catherine today just because Kat is there.
That's true. We got two cats.
Yeah. Jess, Brooklyn, happy. Charity. Andy, you were laughing at all the cheering here.
Yeah, there was too much cheering. Yeah.
I always watch to see which contestants are a little like too into it. They're a little like,
yeah,
versus the ones who are like
who are embarrassed.
Yeah, like I think you should be embarrassed.
There should be some degree of shame.
Yes, because you're not there because of talent.
Yeah, it's not like you performed like the national anthem for like the presidential inauguration.
Yeah, and even the amount that you were liked or beloved to the point where you would be applauded for came down to things out of your control for the most part.
If anything, the more you're applauded, the more humble you should be.
Yes. We get the usual description of what it's like to get out of the limo, what it's like to meet Zach. And there's always, by the way, someone saying, I blacked out.
Yeah.
And by the way, I also blacked out. I'm not judging whoever said that.
Oh, no. I think I would do the same thing.
Okay. So Christina is first. And coming after Christina, I don't think I ever would have guessed this, is Olivia L.
Who's Olivia L?
Yeah, exactly. So she left on night one. I actually was a little sad that she stood out in this way in Women Tell All because I remember thinking Olivia L was so stunning and I wished I had seen more of her. Huh. And then for this to be her showing, I'm kind of like, oh, you're better than that.
I kept confusing her with the girl on Paradise. What's her name? The one who had a real meltdown. It was a disaster. Sad. It was a sad situation.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she had like a really, really, really big fake eyelashes.
Lace,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, Olivia L. reminds you of lace?
A little bit. There was a little lace in there.
Oh, wow. I love that the way we narrowed that down was eyelashes.
I don't know. What else was I going to say? I mean, there's a lot of train wrecks on the show.
Kat comes in and she's like, you went home night one.
Yeah.
Which I think there's a better way to word this. It's just to be like, you weren't there. Because otherwise it sounds a little... There's elitist. A hierarchy. Yeah, it does sound elitist.
A night one-er. It's like the lowest cast.
And now Olivia comes after her. She's like, well, Zach got to know your personality and he sent you home. This whole thing just feels very much like Olivia L. wants to be on Paradise. And I'm sure she will make it on based on this.
It's like, I feel like the women and men tell all is always like a musical chairs of Paradise. It's like, I want to be on Paradise. I want to be on Paradise.
Yeah, totally. And this is something that I feel like I can... like say something about or shout about or scream about, like I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna take that chair.
Yeah, and I don't fault them. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
Well, especially since Paradise I now think is the better venue to gain a following.
Yeah. Not that anyone has ever done it. Come on.
Christina ultimately, I gotta say, is very classy.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, I can now take this feedback and improve.
Yeah.
Because they were all coming at her for making it all about her. I was blown away by how gracefully she handled this.
Absolutely.
Especially considering I don't think Christina Mandrell was that bad to begin with.
No, she wasn't that bad. And I think Christina Mandrell will have some future in some way on the screen because she does carry something. She didn't say much, but I was still looking at Christina Mandrell most of the time.
Yes, she's a star.
She's a star.
Yeah, like she's a star.
Like her aunt? I don't know.
Grandmother? Mother?
Aunt? I think it's her aunt.
Oh, really?
Her aunt once removed.
Is that the American pronunciation?
Aunt.
So I say aunt.
I think aunt is an incorrect pronunciation no matter what place you live. But no. I used to say aunt too, and I changed because one day I was in like an English class and they said, you know, it's aunt. Mm-hmm. It's not aunt. Aunt is not a word. Yeah. Aunt is a bug that, you know, goes in a hole.
No, I recognize that, but I think there's some Canadianism here because I grew up calling an avocado, and now I say avocado because I've lived in the States too long. And last night, my sisters and their partners were playing Overcooked while I was doing a puzzle. That's what you do on your own. I was doing a puzzle.
So wholesome.
But clearly the dish they were cooking was pasta.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of the word pasta being thrown around, but everyone was saying pasta, pasta.
No, no.
And I was thinking, oh, wow, I've lived in the States for long enough that I notice that now.
Yeah, pasta is wrong.
It's not wrong.
It's wrong. I'll tell you something. In what universe does A-U end up in eh? It doesn't make any sense.
I don't know what to tell you. I still say aunt. That's one of the remaining Canadianisms for me anyway. Yeah. Okay, so Anastasia now. Victoria J comes after her saying Anastasia came on as a business opportunity. She said that she told her to her face. Mm. And Kat jumps in saying that she had a boyfriend the whole time and she has receipts.
Mm.
But we never get to see the receipts.
I didn't see receipts.
I like to see receipts when people say they have. Because it's too easy to be like, I have receipts. And if no one's ever going to be like, okay, let's see the receipts.
Yeah, let's see the receipts. You can say I have receipts for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have receipts that I shot JFK. Okay.
Genevieve says that that's impossible because she was Anastasia's roommate and she hadn't heard of this. I'm only laughing because being someone's roommate does not mean that you're going to hear whether or not they have a boyfriend. Because if she's smart, she will never mention it.
Yeah, it doesn't mean anything.
Andy, you at this point called, so far, the women tell all, a big nothing burger.
Yeah.
Anastasia vehemently denies having a boyfriend and saying she was there for followers. Kylie joins in now about how Anastasia called her aggressive. And now Genevieve, I do like this about Genevieve. She just sort of stands up for what she believes in. She's not like, oh, this is my friend. I'm going to defend them regardless.
Yeah.
And so now she also jumps in against Anastasia, even though she just defended her, saying that it was a racially driven microaggression. And Anastasia says she apologized to Kylie already and they've sorted things. Mm. And Kylie's like, not really. She says Anastasia never seemed to really care about whether or not she had hurt Kylie. She just came to speak to her seemingly to protect herself, basically. Mm. It was self-preservation. But she hopes she learns and grows from this and now accepts her apology. Okay, so let's quickly touch on this. People really don't like Anastasia.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a mob mentality in these women and or men tell-alls. Mm. But where there's smoke, there is fire. And I do think that Anastasia has probably committed some fouls here.
That's the thing. If she really were so beloved by all, this wouldn't happen. Right. She must have rubbed enough people the wrong way. So even though I actually think in the moment, and the same with on the show, actually, Anastasia, when confronted, she really doesn't retaliate.
No.
In this situation, she was just like, I'm sorry.
No, she never does. She's either very conflict averse or just amazing at dealing with conflict.
Maybe she's the kind of person who later on is like, oh, I wish I'd said this. But in the moment, she's a little overwhelmed.
Maybe. I don't know. She just seems really chill about taking insults.
Yeah. And also, it doesn't really kind of match the picture that they've painted of Anastasia.
Yeah.
Because according to them, she's kind of two-faced and a liar and, I don't know, just sort of self-interested. But in the moment, she's just like, okay, sorry.
Or she's such a good two-faced liar that she's well practiced in seeming like she's not a two-faced liar.
You know, that's actually just as likely, I guess, because a good way to prove them all wrong is to seem like the victim.
Yeah, like, oh, well, me?
Yeah. But seem like the victim without playing victim, which is not what she's doing.
It's hard.
It is.
She's walking the razor's edge.
Okay, so now it's Catherine's time. Jesse asks her if she was surprised by the anger over stealing Zach before Charity's date. And she says it wasn't her intention to ruffle so many feathers. Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah.
She says that she apologized immediately. And Charity's like, not immediately. She did apologize, though. And Charity calls this a Christina moment of Catherine's. I love that that's a thing. Yeah. A Christina moment. Uh-huh. In terms of the bad timing. And now this turns into Brooklyn versus Catherine. I gotta say, I was really hoping, because look, I like Brooklyn a lot. We love what a straight shooter she is. We like that she stands up for what she believes in. Mm. But we did feel that this kind of got dragged out a little too long, a little too loud. Yeah. And she only doubles down here. She says, if the shoe fits, lace that bitch up. She manages to say that twice.
I don't go for that.
Catchphrase. Yeah. Jeez, you were Louise. Groaning.
I hate it so much.
Yeah, there's a lot of work in that catchphrase too.
Yeah, it's terrible. It totally turned my opinion of Brooklyn. I hate to say
if the shoe fits, lace
that. Three catchphrases of a catchphrase that's not really good to
begin
with.
Three? She said it twice.
She said it three times. She said it in the show, then she said it twice in The Women Tell All.
Oh, she said it in the show too.
That's what she said in the show. Oh, you don't remember that? She said it in the show.
Oh, man.
That was what she said, that she was repeating the catchphrase and then repeated the catchphrase again, just in case we still didn't judge her for repeating the catchphrase.
Okay, this turns into a shouting match between mainly Brooklyn and Catherine, and Jess trying, she's in between them being like, oh, we can be kind to each other. I like Jess. I gotta say, we are Team Catherine, just in the sense that two wrongs don't make a right. You know, she apologized. She clearly got blown out of proportion.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that she's the victim there, but I think you can turn the criminal into the victim by villainizing them so much.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And that's what Brooklyn did. I think Kat committed like a slight etiquette foul.
Yeah.
It wasn't a huge crime.
Yeah.
And then Brooklyn kept going. She's like, she found her hook.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, this is my thing. I'm going to go for this.
Yeah. And it's my opportunity to showcase my catchphrase.
This is my paradise hook. I'm going to do 7 or 8 catchphrases and everyone's going to love me. And I'll be honest with you, when she called her classless, that kind of, I don't want to say anything, but that first of all, completely not true, has nothing to do with class, in my opinion, but it also reflects poorly on Brooklyn.
Well, that's the thing. Yes, Catherine did a thing that was in poor taste.
Slightly poor taste. It has nothing to do with her class.
Yeah, for me, it just struck me as more selfish than classless.
Yeah.
But I thought that Brooklyn, how she came after her
was
and wouldn't let go.
On
that
classless.
Struck me as more classless than Catherine's initial.
And to be fair, even that wasn't classless, which is a really harsh term.
It
was just not classy.
Mm.
Yeah, classless is like that. That's not something you throw around. That's not something you throw on just because someone went and kissed the lead, you know, because they hadn't seen him in a while before someone's date.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
She's in the wrong
here. Also, it's funny, like, if you think about it, like in the evening of a cocktail party, they're all taking turns kissing him.
Of course.
It's like, oh, today. It's
her.
She's the only one who gets to kiss him today.
Exactly.
All in all, we do like Brooklyn. It was just, this is the one thing about her that I didn't really take to. It felt like she was really leaning into positive feedback she's likely received for being such a straight shooter.
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, so now it's hot seat time. Jess is first up. She cries a bit watching her own recap. Actually, they all cry.
They all do cry.
She says she felt so misunderstood in that last conversation, and I'm glad she said that because that's how it felt watching it. It was like, he's not listening to what she's saying.
No.
She says at the end of the day, she just wanted a date. She wanted time with him. She says the experience, though, helped her fall in love with herself and realize what she deserves.
That's nice.
This was so nice. She says she respects him. She thinks he's great. He did the best he could. She hates how things ended. Pretty generous all around, actually. Yeah. Considering I think Jess actually got one of the shorter ends of the stick.
Yeah, she got shafted good.
Yeah. But she talks here about her body glitter. I gotta say, her body glitter didn't stand out to me as being this social media uproar.
No, thing. I did mention, I think, on one recap that she did have a lot of glitter.
I think it was when we had Emma and Claire on and they were like, oh, the one with body glitter. And we were like, oh, yeah, I guess.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just...
I mean, a lot of people wear glitter on the show, right?
Yeah, I just didn't think that when I saw Jess, I always thought, I think Jess is very beautiful. I wasn't like, she's wearing too much body glitter. Yeah, that just wasn't the thing that stood out to me as being worth criticizing, but okay. She's good at laughing at herself, yeah, at least. Is.
So Charlene, I always marvel at how your skin looks now the same way it looked when I first met you.
Oh, but that's so nice. I mean, I am very diligent about my skincare regimen. And I really do have Apostrophe to thank for the convenience factor in my more souped up facets of my skincare routine. Because I use prescription tretinoin. You guys have heard me talk about it many times. And I am way more likely to do that if I don't have to physically go to the dermatologist and then physically go to the pharmacy to pick it up.
And for me, I never would have gotten any of this stuff if it weren't for Apostrophe. Yes. Because I'm not willing. Yeah. I'm not willing to go anywhere. I'm not willing to go across the street.
So Apostrophe, in case you're new around here, because we have been advertising Apostrophe for a very long time. Mm-hmm. It is a magnificent online platform that connects you with board certified dermatologists. So you can get access to prescription skincare without ever leaving the comfort of your sofa.
Yeah, I don't want to leave home.
No, who wants to leave home?
For anything.
So you fill out their online consultation with selfies of your skin and you type out what your skincare concerns are. And they might be acne, they might be fine lines and wrinkles, what have you. And then a board certified dermatologist will review your information and prescribe you something if they feel you need it. And it really is bespoke because Andy and I got the same product, but different strengths of that product.
Yeah, it feels like it's yours. Because skincare is not just universal.
No.
If anything, skincare is less universal than almost anything of the care space.
It's true. And what works for one person's skin might not work for another person's. And I've learned that the hard way, you know, if a friend uses a certain product and I'm like, ooh, and then you might have a bad reaction. And it's not just topical medication. They also have oral prescriptions
that can treat chest, knee, back knee, and butt knee.
Yeah. So we have a very special deal for our audience, the Shandys. Right now, you can get your first visit with an Apostrophe provider for only $5 when you go to apostrophe.com/Shandy and enter promo code Shandy. That is a savings of $15, and this offer is only available to our listeners.
To get started, just go to apostrophe.com/Shandy and click get started.
Then use our code Shandy at sign up and you'll get your first visit for only $5. And we thank Apostrophe for sponsoring the podcast. Okay, so now it's Greer's hot seat time. She also cries watching this back. She says she sees where Zach was coming from. They did lose so much time. She says, I knew I was behind. I kind of wish...
We don't know anything.
We still, nothing. Yeah, this was really unsatisfying on that front.
I have a theory. I think many people have the same theory.
Okay. I know what you're going to say. I have an opening for you to say that.
Ooh, okay. I'll get on my mark.
Yeah, on your mark. Get set. She says, watching it all back, she knows that they're not each other's person. Okay, so now we're going to get to, get on your mark. Okay.
Yeah, I got this is my stance. I go knuckle and fingers.
Okay. Jessie brings up the social media posts from her past. No, not yet.
Oh, sorry. That was a false start.
He says that they were deleted and then screenshot and then posted online. And because we really actively do avoid this stuff, like we knew that they were whispering.
Yeah, it was whispers.
I wasn't sure exactly what it was. I thought it was more about her political stance.
Yeah, but it was the blackface.
Yeah, it was the blackface. Okay, so she apparently defended a fellow classmate who posed in blackface. Jessie says the truth is that in the past, the franchise has done a poor job of not addressing these things. And so he says that she has publicly apologized already, but he's going to give her another chance. Not yet. Oh, you're waiting to go?
Oh.
Oh, and I would say get set now.
Okay.
So you're on your mark. Get set.
So my back is arched now. It's going to be hard to do.
Your butt is up.
Yeah, my butt's up.
Greer says that what she failed to mention in her apology is that what happened was racist, what her friend did was racist, her defending her friend was racist. She's so ashamed. It's impact over intent, and she's sorry she hurt the black community. She can't take it back, but can only try to be better. All right, Andy, go.
It was not very good.
Okay, go. Say the thing.
Okay. I think production found out about the blackface thing into filming early and told Zach, like, listen, I think it's in your best interest to back off of Greer. That's what I think, because we don't have any other explanation. So I've got to go fishing.
Yeah.
And this is the best fish you can catch. To me, if Zach, who doesn't want one drop of drama anywhere, if he heard this, he'd be like, done. I don't care. I don't care if I want to marry that girl. She's done. I'm not doing it.
I mean, it does seem very unlikely, because they do try to keep everyone really sequestered from reality, from real life, from what's happening.
Even production? Top production?
No, I'm saying production would know, but I don't know if they would tip Zach off. But the reason why I think there might be something to what you're saying is that they're clearly trying to, I have an analogy.
Ooh.
Like when a dog does number two.
Oh, yeah. And they do the fake.
Yeah, they do the fake, like.
They just, it's instinct. It doesn't matter if they're on concrete. They just keep burying.
Yeah,
it.
This to me feels like they've done a big poo.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, people were offended by our poo. Yeah. So we'll do this.
Exactly. They're not covering up anything. They're just doing the motion that would ordinarily cover it up.
Yeah, it feels a little performative, and it doesn't really cover it up properly. But it's sort of like, okay, I guess, like, nice job. Trying.
I think it would have been an unmitigated disaster if, again, someone dealing with a blackface issue won, like Eric. And they really dropped the ball with Eric, right?
Yeah.
So if that happened again, I'm sure. I feel 65 to 75% sure this happened.
Okay.
I think someone, an executive, was like, we found out this stuff. This is going to blow up.
Yeah.
Tell Zach, if he wants to get paid, stay away from Greer.
Or if it's like, if he's already losing a little interest, we're going to seal the deal and just make sure. It's like, we're going to close off that option.
Yeah.
It's like the train track, that train track is shut off.
Yeah, they did everything they could. They gave her COVID. It's like, it's like, no Greer. No Greer for you.
Okay, so all in all, based on what we are garnering from the situation, she did a shitty thing, but I thought that she handled this pretty well.
She did. As far as apologies go, there was no buts. There was no, like, but.
Yes. Oh, that always bothers me.
Yeah.
When there's a caveat.
A conditional apology.
Yeah. So now it's Catherine's hot seat. Jesse says, there was a time when I thought you'd be at the end with a ring on your finger. Our point exactly. The more unsatisfying resolution here. We get nothing. No explanation.
Zero. As we knew we would. We knew
but it was
would
even
happen.
Worse than I thought, honestly.
Yeah, it was about as bad as it could get.
Yeah, later on when Catherine asks Zach what happened, he's like, I had to make a decision.
Yeah, thanks.
So watching this back, she also cries. She says, leaving, she was not only losing Zach, but her deepest insecurities were coming back to the surface because she was scared to even tell him about her family situation. And she says she still doesn't know what happened with Zach, but she's learned to be proud of her past and of her resilience. And she says that this whole experience has impacted her family more than she ever thought it would. And that she now, because of this show, has a mother-daughter relationship with her mom. And we actually had a little preview into this because Kat and I have DM'd just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
And she was lovely.
Lovely.
But she revealed in it that her mom listens to every episode, that she's like a full shandy.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to pry, but I was like, oh, her mom.
Yeah.
Like, she talks to her mom. Like, I don't know how little she talked to her mom before the show. Like, what's going on? And I just think that this is such a lovely outcome. Like, this, she really wins. This is way better than ending up engaged because this has legs.
What are you saying? I mean, she has family back. That's a big deal.
That to me, so far anyway, Jess learning what she deserves, learning to love herself. I almost felt like Jess, even her shoulders, Like in the beginning of the season, her mere body language seemed to be an apology for taking up space. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree.
And then at Women Tell, there was just a little bit more, like her shoulders were a little more relaxed. It seemed like she had gained quite a bit of confidence. And to see that Catherine has gained this relationship with her mom, yeah. It was kind of feel good in that
sense.
It was
super feel good. I like to fantasize that the thing that brought them back together was her mom sending a text like, hey, you listen to Dear Shandy?
Make it about us, Andy. Make it about us. Okay, so it's Charity's hot seat now. She's my best dress, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
This white dress, yeah. The cutouts. I love the high neck detail, the open part here. And her hair was up enough, and it was a little kind of in the front. But if it had been fully back and or more up, I would have loved it more. But this was still just excellent. The white on her was spectacular. Yeah. Okay, so thus begins us, our the sinking feeling that we're starting to get in our hearts. You know when you're on a ride and your heart drops?
Yeah.
This is like a slow-mo from here until the end of the Women Tell All. Yeah. So Jesse says, raise your hand if you thought Charity was going to end up with Zach.
What percent of America thought that he was going to end up with Charity? Seriously.
Not many.
1%? They were really, 2%?
They were really trying to convince us.
Did they tell them before the show the way they give them the signs? Like, you're raising your hand when you say you think Charity's going to win.
Isn't it funny that they can't crown someone Bachelorette unless they are completely like fall on their ass, heartbroken?
No.
It's not enough for Charity to have just made it pretty far and for it to not have worked out in her favor. Hmm. It's like we need everyone to have been floored by the fact that she wasn't chosen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Formulaic.
Yes.
Bad formula.
It is.
Bad formula.
This is a formula they should ditch.
Get rid of this.
Yes.
Just pick someone who is cool.
Yeah, someone who we want to watch day in, day out for many months.
Yeah.
Honestly, not a lot is said here.
No.
In true Charity fashion, she says that Zach validated her. He made her feel safe and secure and comfortable. Yeah. We've heard this on repeat for quite some time. She says, though, that she's good at applying lessons to her future. And now she knows she's truly ready.
Ready. She's ready.
I just wish they wouldn't pretend that she didn't know. At the end, they're like, we're going to surprise her. She has no idea.
It's absolutely ridiculous. She knew. Zach knew. Can I be honest with you?
What?
I think Charity was chosen to be Bachelorette. Like, I think there was like two or three people that were like, these are our people.
Yeah.
I think Charity was chosen before the season was even filming.
Okay, let's keep going. So there's now a segment with unseen footage from around the house, which I think they should absolutely keep. This is really cute.
Good stuff.
It includes Mercedes twerking very impressively.
Impressive.
And then Brianna has the ability to just twerk one cheek at
That's
a time.
That's really impressive.
This was amazing. And she's trying to teach the ladies. The funniest
not
part.
Happening.
I love how Katie was like, super cute. We have Anastasia helping Allie to learn how to kiss again. It was kind of cringy.
Yeah. They were kind of teasing something here that was.
Yeah, it was obvious what they were teasing. I would have rather they had just done it. Instead, it was like, oh,
yeah,
we can't
just do the thing.
Yes.
That would have been good TV.
Just the orange, and then the orange is cut open. And then she's in the ITM room with the orange. And the fact that it was also staged, they're in this like sort of picnic setting.
There's
a blanket
was
on the floor. It was, I mean, obviously staged, but why? Like it was just a cringy. I'm wondering how they were convinced to do this.
They can convince them to do anything on the show.
Apparently.
I like my bloopers to be bloopers. I'm a purist.
Well, this wasn't bloopers. They have this new segment where they're just showing funny things happening around the house.
Oh, okay. But it's blooper-ish.
So you think they were trying to get blooper material?
Yeah, this was like B-roll that was considered, like funny, but not really necessary for the narrative.
Yeah, I think that's what bothered me about this is the farting conversation funny. It feels authentic, feels like it's sort of just developed into that.
Yeah, and I learned things too.
Totally.
Yeah.
the twerking scene,
excellent.
Funny. That
excellent.
Feels like it just happened.
Excellent.
This kissing thing feels like a producer was like, oh, Allie, you're nervous about kissing. Oh, Anastasia, you guys are close friends. Why don't you kiss some oranges?
Who decided that should be a thing?
But it did at least tie in Allie's Zoom date with Zach when they were in London.
Okay,
suddenly it's like, oh, okay. There was a little bit of context for that.
Whatever.
Okay, the ladies play that tortilla slapping game.
Is that a TikTok challenge thing?
I don't know.
I assume it is.
Probably.
Yeah.
And now the fart conversation.
Yeah.
The question is, would you ever do number two while your guy is in the shower?
Yeah, that's not something that's going to happen.
We have two bathrooms for a reason.
Yeah, that's crossing the line. But I will say, I did, as I said, I learned from Kat. That's a great trick.
Oh, yeah.
There was a long line in the bathroom. Now, every time you say that, I'm going to question what's going on in there.
She gave us all away. Okay, so Zach finally arrives now. Jesse tells Zach that he's very calming. He seems stoic. Yes. And Zach's like, oh, pure panic. And we're like, ha, 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 ha. They really try to find any opportunity they can for Zach to show his self-deprecation.
Yeah, get a little Zachy in there. Verd of the Zachy.
Kat is first now. Catherine is first. She asks if there was a tangible moment or instance where things shifted for him. Mm. And Andy, you said, here comes the biggest non-answer of all time. Mm-hmm. And you were correct. Zach says their connection never faltered once. There was no moment or anything said. He just had to make a decision.
Wow, we've learned so much.
Mm-hmm. With Charity now, Jesse says, hearts were breaking all over America when you said goodbye to Charity. And Andy, you were like, that's not true.
No, no. Let's get the record straight here. Mm. Even Charity herself was shocked that she got a hometown.
Yeah, they're trying to feed us more of a connection there than there actually was. I think that's pretty obvious to everyone. I mean, I don't know how anyone could see this differently. And it's nothing against Charity. I have nothing against Charity.
Charity is lovely.
She's lovely.
Let's set the record straight. Mm-hmm. Charity is lovely. Yeah.
Stop
in
trying
all
to force feed us this connection that clearly isn't there. It never, in my opinion, progressed past second date level.
I agree.
Zach gives another non-answer about why she was sent home. And now we have Jess. While Jess is talking to him, he has that expression on his face, that I don't give a shit about you expression.
Yeah, totally. He's just like.
Yeah, he does this thing. He's like. He says that final argument they had was shocking, and he was frustrated and thought, I really like this girl. Why is she pulling away from me? That really rubbed me wrong. Why is she pulling away from
Jess's
me?
It's all Jess's fault.
She pulled away from him.
If only Jess had just embraced him. It would have been okay.
Yeah, if only she was okay, just never, ever getting a date. And then there's more non-answers from him. And finally, Jess says, was it the sparkles? This was cute.
This is cute.
Jess
this
was
cute.
Perfect. She was perfect.
I kind of want to be friends with Jess.
Yes. I thought, did women tell all as perfectly as one can do it?
Jess gets my MVP.
Yeah. I love how she tried to tone down like shouting going on. She's like, we can treat each other with respect. She never seemed to involve herself in things that had nothing to do with her.
Never caused drama. Mm-hmm. Never raised her voice about someone who did something wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And now Mercedes and Kylie ask for a proper group hug goodbye since their goodbye was over Zoom.
Mm. All right. Okay. That's nice.
That was a little weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
But we liked them, so we'll just move on from that.
Yes.
Okay, so now we get our bloopers. Zach clearly sweats a lot. Mm-hmm. Charity falls down the stairs. Mercedes does funny. A farmer blow.
I thought it was an Irish hanky. But
hanky?
Yeah, Irish hanky. That's
like
what
a
I
handkerchief?
Always called it. Yeah, but I think that's offensive. Oh. I mean, it is offensive.
Is that just like holding one nostril and
blowing
out,
the other one?
I don't know why that even needs a name. Sometimes you just need to do that.
Yeah, but if you do it in public, it's a little, you know, it's not the greatest thing.
It's like horking.
Yeah,
it's like a gross.
No one wants to be around that. No one's like, oh, nice. I'm glad you did that. That's really made my day better.
To me, the highlight of the entire tell-all episode was learning that Zach thought mulled wine was mulled wine.
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, my God. This is
so
embarrassing.
Mortifying. I can't believe he let them do that.
I mean, he gave it to them. He gave them that material.
He gave it to them, yeah. Mulled wine.
I love that a producer was like, you know that it's mulled wine, right? In the ITM room. And he's like, wait a minute, what?
There was no like, oh, right, mulled wine. He was totally embracing. He's like, oh, yeah, I had no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, he really leaned into what he, I feel like that conclusion should have been reached earlier. Like if he heard someone say mulled wine, he'd be like, wait, how does that work?
Yeah. I mean...
reading into this.
No, you did the right thing.
I do love how Jesse just really makes fun of him. He does an impression where he's like, it's a certain kind of wine, mulled wine. Jesse's great.
I mean, that's such easy pickings.
So now we get a preview for the rest of the season, including Sex Week.
Yeah. Not as good as Shark Week.
What's Shark Week?
It's Shark Week on Discovery Channel. It's where they do is sharks.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Sharks are cool.
Amazing. Just killing machines, but also really gentle creatures.
I have to admit that shark game we played, there's a video game where you're the shark.
Oh, yeah.
You're just going around eating people.
Just eating people. It's pretty amazing.
It's great.
Yeah. Good game.
Okay. So he said there's no sex on Sex Week, but then he says one thing and does another.
I mean, come on. obviously, if you say no sex week, there's going to be sex in the week.
I predict that the person he has sex with is the person that he Katie. Ends up with. It's Katie.
Okay. He has sex with Katie.
And when asked about the finale, Zach says to expect something overwhelming.
Mm.
Okay, so Jesse now, as everyone's dispersing, yeah. Women Tell All is over.
That's it. It's over.
It's over.
Everyone go home.
Jesse's like, but wait. Oh. We told you someone's life was about to change. And we're like, someone?
Who could it possibly
be? And he's like, a woman.
Is it someone who won $1 million in the audience? Is that what they're doing now?
Can you imagine?
Are they giving away money?
How much higher stakes would it be if they did that? Could you,
that would be great. That would have been very refreshing.
We would have liked that. He says he's going to go surprise the woman who will be Bachelorette. Yeah. And Andy, you said, will Ariel be there by any chance? And then when the door, we see it's Charity, and Andy, you shouted, fuck.
With the kids right nearby. I keep doing that.
No, we have to watch our language.
But they're going to learn eventually. What's the difference?
No, it's cute. They know, and they're like, don't swear.
I'm the bad uncle. Let's face it. I'm the bad uncle.
I think you kind of are the bad uncle.
Yeah, but that's good. When you can cubbyhole someone as the bad uncle, then you know that everything they do is bad, which allows the uncle to do whatever they want at that point.
I feel like they're not really sure what to make of you.
Yeah. One day they'll find out.
So Jesse does a this or that game while Andy, you were groaning. Why? And it's supposed to seem like this big surprise, but I found this super patronizing because she couldn't even act that surprised.
She couldn't do it. And not to discredit her, no one could have done it.
No.
She knew probably a month ago.
I think that she knew that she was in the running and it was very likely, but I think this really was them telling her. But if you're going to advertise it as this shocking surprise, I want to see someone be surprised.
It's insulting
and
our
not
intelligence.
Act surprised. She's not a good enough actor for us to be like, wow, she just found
out. De Niro
out.
Couldn't have acted surprised in that situation.
So let's discuss. Because we have a lot of thoughts on this, clearly. We've thought Ariel would be Bachelorette. We think Ariel would be perfect as Bachelorette for a multitude of reasons.
I want to make this very clear. Mm. There's nothing against Charity.
Nothing.
Charity seems absolutely lovely.
Delightful human.
Charity was not a top pick for Zach.
No.
We knew that from night two.
Yeah, they try to tell us that she was.
Completely forced.
Yes.
They had a really huge missed opportunity here with Ariel.
Yeah.
Huge.
Ukrainian and Jewish. And
cool as hell.
Cool as hell and smart and funny. Like, and smart. She's so dynamic. She has such a charisma. She's cool. Women want to be Ariel's friend and men want to date Ariel. That's a really unique combination. I think that they would really be tapping in to a certain audience that is really holding on by a thread with this show.
Yeah.
And look, like you said, we love Charity. It's obvious that this is a diversity choice and I respect that from that angle.
Sure.
But I still think that the fact that we're not excited about Charity is not Charity's fault.
No.
It means that they did something wrong in selling Charity to us. But we of all people, I would love to see all leads of color for the rest of this show's existence.
I agree. And the caveat here is maybe Ariel wins. I don't know. And then we have egg on our face. But she doesn't win. Let's be honest. She's not going to win.
Ariel wins. But we've been so wrong with so many things this season.
Who knows?
That maybe, you know,
she's not winning.
And I have said before that we like being wrong. But in this case, Ariel was, I was
such
so
an
excited.
Obvious choice. It
I
was
really
a layup. It was a God's gift. They were like, here's Ariel. Here's a Ukrainian, a Jewish girl who's cool as hell, who's interesting, who's funny, who's going to be dynamic, who's going to make interesting choices.
Seriously, when was the last time they had a Jewish lead? Was it Andy Dorfman?
Yeah, but they never made a thing about it. You didn't know Andy Dorfman was Jewish unless you Googled her.
I almost feel that because they made a thing about it, they were like patting themselves on the back, highlighting a woman, you know, from an immigrant family who's Jewish and all this stuff. It's like, oh, yeah, she can go feed him gefilte fish, but we're not ever going to crown her Bachelorette.
Yeah, God forbid.
I found it actually offensive.
It was a little offensive.
To me, it was obvious in terms of a personality, a timeliness with what's going on in the world. I really felt that Ariel... I can't imagine another candidate coming along at this time in this way where there could be someone better.
I find it so incredible that she wasn't chosen that I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt to ABC and assume something happened. Either she wins, which we know she doesn't, but maybe...
we could be wrong.
Maybe she wins. I don't know.
Can Can you imagine?
That's so ridiculous. Anyway, but assuming she doesn't win, something else, I'm going to give it to them because this is so absurd. Something else must have happened.
My issue with charity as a choice. Look, and look, if Ariel wasn't there, I would be like, sweet.
Yeah.
But I just feel like I already know exactly how this season is going to go.
And I think that they should always keep diversity in mind.
Of course.
But you should also think about who the audience is responding to.
Yes. It's like you go to a store and the person, the salesperson is really trying to sell you something. And you're like, oh, but I really think I'd rather watch this for 3 months. And they're like, no, you cannot have that because I'm selling you this other thing. It's but you've shown me this other thing that I actually think I would find more compelling.
I think ABC has gotten high on their own supply.
What does that mean?
You've never heard that expression?
No.
Where a drug dealer is using his own drugs instead of just selling them?
Oh, wow. I've never heard that.
Really? It's a good expression.
Yeah, it's a great expression.
And Biggie Smalls has it in his top 10 rules of being a drug dealer.
Don't get high
on your own supply. Yeah, I think that's number one.
Slippery slope.
Yeah. But I think they need to start getting high on what the audience wants to take. I'm not sure that works.
Okay. Well, overall, I mean, this could have been worse.
Yeah.
This could have been worse. There could have been a more offensive choice, I suppose. I just feel it was a massively missed opportunity.
Massive, massive missed opportunity. That's the thing. And it's not necessarily the thing that they picked, which is bad.
Yeah.
It's the thing that they didn't pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's the absence of the obvious choice.
Yeah. And I would love nothing more than to be proven wrong.
And let's just hope they prove us wrong. Let's hope we are just delighted by her season.
We would love nothing more. So let us know what you guys think. We always love to hear from the Shandies.
We don't know. Yeah. We're in a vacuum over here.
Sipping away on our coffee, talking to ourselves. If you enjoyed what you heard today, you know what we will ask of you, and that is to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell, follow us on Instagram, and leave us Apple and
Spotify
podcast ratings and reviews, and generally do all the things that you would do to support a podcast you enjoy, including telling your friends. And that's a wrap.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next time on Dear Shandy. Bye-bye.